Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Monday, September 9th. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff. And, well, we have actual football to talk about here on the show today. We're going to give you takes from each of the 14 games that have taken place since Friday. Of course, we still have Monday Night Football today. But let's break it down because a lot went down in these games. Of course, if you want all the information, including, hey, I already have waiver wire stuff up. It's Monday. It's about 1:20 when I'm recording this thing, 1:20 Eastern. Waiver wire is already up. Now, it's not complete. It won't be complete. It won't lock it officially until noon on Tuesdays. But on Mondays, the waiver wire rankings tool is going to be populated. There were a couple of people who were like pissed that I'm not doing a waiver article, but the waiver article was never done until like now, like this time of day on Tuesdays. Speed to market's a good thing. So it's already up there. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Go check it out. Okay, so just to fill you in too on this podcast for Mondays, I'm going to give you takes from each of the games, kind of like I did for preseason. So this isn't going to be a two-hour long podcast. I realize that, hey, there are other podcasts out there that do that. That has never been my vibe. I don't want to do that on this podcast. I want to save you time as opposed to costing you time. So they're going to be pretty quick. Biggest takeaways from each game. I will hit on all the important information. I just am not going to dive deep into every single little stinking stat that occurs in each of the games. So let's start with Green Bay and Philly. Saquon looked pretty stinking good. So far, so good on that front. Josh Jacobs didn't necessarily look as good, but the volume was there. So I'm not worried about him. And I'm not going to overvalue Jaden Reed from the jump, 4 for 138 and a touchdown. But Romeo Doubs actually led the team in targets and routes run. Of course, the biggest story on the Green Bay side, Jordan Love is going to miss some time here. It looks like a 3 to 4 week absence with an MCL. So he avoided the ACL. As of now, it's Malik Willis, though that could be subject to change. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. On the other side, kind of par for the course. I mean, yes, Jalen Hurts looked like he was in preseason form. That's fine, but no major takeaways here. All of the guys who perform well, we expected them to. You know, your trio of Brown, Smith, and Barkley. Dotson was out there a bunch, but only was targeted once. I still just don't think there's much room for fantasy value for him. All right, moving to the next game, Pittsburgh and Atlanta. Pittsburgh getting the dub here. Atlanta looking a little flat offensively. Let's give them time to develop. Bijan was used heavily, was basically an every down guy, which was great to see. Ended up playing 90% of the offensive snaps, barely any Tyler Allgeier. He's just a handcuff at this point. We'll give them time to develop, though. And it was nice to see Kyle Pitts score, even though he only had 3 for 26. On the other side, not really convinced Justin Fields is starter material. They covered him up in this game. We'll see what happens. It's really weird with Russell Wilson. We'll see what ends up happening there. I mean, yeah, Justin Fields may be an ad in Superflex. We're not starting him in one quarterback leagues. And I think he showed us why, even though some people sort of have these rose-colored glasses when they view Justin Fields, I think he showed us why in this one. He's a great runner. I'm not going to deny you that. 14 for 57 on the ground, but really did very little with his arm. The backfield, I thought we were going to get some Arthur Smith, you know, shenanigans, but we didn't. Najee Harris was the clear lead back. 38 snaps, 19 for Jaylen Warren, 9 for Cordero Patterson. I'm not pushing the panic button on Warren right now, but definitely like the volume that we saw for Harris, 21 touches in this game. Be careful with Pat Freiermuth. There's still a rotation in that tight end room. I don't think he's worth rostering, but then again, you know, that's ultimately your call. I didn't really want to draft him either, but, you know, ultimately it comes down to how you want to run your rosters. All right, moving over to Buffalo, Arizona. Buffalo figuring out a way to come back, get this thing done. And that way was Josh Allen. 2 rushing scores, 2 passing scores. He's as good as ever. As far as the pass catchers, Dalton Kincaid was out there a bunch. I'm not worried about him. He ran the second most routes, only Keon Coleman with more. I'm not worried about him. He plays a notoriously finicky position. I will be careful, though, about Khalil Shakir. Yes, he scored a touchdown, but he's still not playing in 2 wide receiver sets. Unfortunately, James Cook looks like he's going to be a between the 20s guy. So another year where he looks great, but when they get down to the goal line, They're going to Josh Allen. Over on the other side, again, not panicking for Marvin Harrison Jr., but this does highlight the problem of drafting a player at their ceiling. You expect ceiling level production every single week, and you're just not going to get it. Better days will be ahead for him. Trey McBride, 9 targets, so he's heavily used. Trey Benson was barely used, so be careful if you're rostering him. James Conner was really the guy. 19 touches for James Conner. Did get in the end zone. 83 scrimmage yards. All right, it wasn't the best day there, but overall, an RB2 week for him. Moving on to the next contest, Tennessee and Chicago. Wow, Will Levis made some bad decisions in this game. Whew, very bad. Hopefully that improves. Right now, Ridley is the clear top receiver because Hopkins was limited. He's trying to play through an MCL tear. You know, a sprain is a tear, so I'm sure it's not severe, but he's still trying to play through that. We did get an answer to our question about the backfield, though. It was Tony Pollard. Now, not by a wide margin, but he was the clear early down guy. Tajay Spears was the clear passing down guy. Pollard played 38 snaps. Spears played 27. Pollard touched the ball 19 times, though. Spears touched it 8. So for now, there's going to be a little bit of a gap. Not worried about Caleb Williams, although the debut was, well, not very memorable. They won the game, but he didn't even top 100 passing yards. Whatever. You know, again, this is really the first action. Week 1, week 2, I treat him like the preseason. I'm not going to make broad sweeping conclusions here, though. He did really like targeting Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. 11 targets for Allen, 8 for Moore. Even though Rome Odunze did play more, ran more routes than Keenan Allen, Allen was preferable. And I think that was largely because of the dink and dunk. Again, I think we have to give the Bears a couple weeks to really, truly evaluate. The one thing I will say, Cole Kmet is clearly behind in that tight end room. Gerald Everett is the top tight end, so be careful on that front. Probably the most surprising game on the slate, New England-Cincinnati. Okay, so Ja'Marr Chase played. Obviously, T. Higgins didn't. The Bengals across the board played bad. It was just bad football at home. They looked rusty. Joe Burrow looked rusty. Joe Burrow is terrible in the first couple weeks of the season. Weeks 1 and 2 over the course of his career, he's 1 and 8. He has 13 total touchdowns, 11 turnovers in those games. It was this one, 5.7 yards per attempt. I mean, it just was ugly. I don't think this is an indicator of what he looks like the rest of the season, though. And to Ja'Marr Chase's credit, he did run 28 routes. He was out there a lot, caught 6 balls for 62 yards. He was fine. He had obviously a crucial penalty, but I'm not worried about him. We don't know how long T. Higgins is going to be out. Talk more about that tomorrow. Now, Zach Moss, clear leader in the backfield, wasn't great, but he did score a touchdown, 9 for 44, then had 2 for 17 as a pass catcher. 31 snaps for him, Chase Brown 16. So much like Tennessee, we got our answer at least initially. We can't make any far-reaching conclusions from week 1, but it does look like Zach Moss is the early down, Chase Brown is the passing down, kind of what we expected. On the other side, kind of what we expected. The only fantasy viable guy was Ramondre Stevenson, and boy, was he viable. Ramondre Stevenson had 28 touches, 126 scrimmage yards, scored a touchdown. He was great. He was great. If you have him, these are the types of hero / zero RB guys that really make a season. I don't think that we can necessarily get ahead of ourselves and be like, oh, he's doing this every week. But he did show nice production here. The team showed they want to use him. So a lot of things pointing in the right direction for Stevenson. Obviously, we have plenty of time. We still have 13 more weeks in the fantasy football regular season to go here. All right, moving on to Houston and Indianapolis. What a fun game. Joe Mixon having a massive performance, 30 for 159, also caught 3 balls for 19 yards. The one fear I would have is if he wears down because he is up there in age. But boy, what a great debut for Mixon. And really across the board, they were kind of as expected. You know, Diggs had the 2 touchdowns, but Collins had the biggest yardage day, 6 for 117. Dell didn't have a big day, but that was my warning heading into the season. We won football. We don't know exactly who it's going to be each week, but they're probably going to put plenty of points on the board. And it's really hard for Dell to do it if Diggs and Mixon score all the touchdowns and then Collins has most of the yards, right? It's really hard, but it's not going to be that way every single week. Moving to the other side, Anthony Richardson had 212 passing yards, which unto itself, isn't eye-popping. Like, it's not terrible, but it's not eye-popping. But then when you say he had 9 completions, that's kind of crazy. He had 3 completions of 50-plus yards. He had that massive touchdown to Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce, 3 for 125 and a score. That's nuts. So the arm is there. The running was there. He scored another rushing touchdown and ran for 56 yards on 6 attempts. Like, Anthony Richardson certainly passed the eye test. Wasn't the best outing for Taylor, but he did get in the end zone. Not worried about him. Not worried about Michael Pittman Jr. as well, because he did have 8 targets, even though he only caught 4 for 31. Okay, on to Jacksonville and Miami. Really disturbing scene before the game where Tyreek Hill was taken out of his car and handcuffed after a routine traffic stop. I'm sure this is not the last we're going to hear about this, but fortunately, he was able to play. Fortunately, he did what he did in week one. Is he the best week one player in NFL history? I mean, he's crazy. 112.1 receiving yards per game in week one. Nobody averages more in the history of the NFL. 7 for 130 and 1. Upside from Waddle. Upside from Achan. 7 for 76 as a pass catcher. Did score a rushing touchdown and actually was used in goal line situations. 10 for 24 isn't great, but he scored the touchdown. The problem was Mostert, obviously. 6 for 9 on the ground, yikes. 2 for 10 as a pass catcher. But when we look at participation in this game, it actually wasn't as bad for Mostert. So he played 28 snaps, Achan played 35. Okay, no Jalen Wright here. I don't know if that's a 1 week thing or if it's, if he's inactive again next week, he may not be worth a bench stash. That's the problem I keep coming back to with these implied guys. Like, sure, it's great to have implied value guys on your bench, but implied value guys are often the first player that many fantasy managers look to drop. So that is worth noting. And, we'll see. Could he be droppable? Perhaps. But then again, we thought the same thing about Achan last season. So I don't want to get ahead of myself just yet. And I don't want to get ahead of myself with Mostert. We didn't spend on him. You know, he was a 8th or 7th round pick for a lot of people. And yeah, we're going to see what ends up happening here. On to the other side, I mean, Tank Bigsby looked really good. He ran 12 times for 73 yards. He was clearly out-snapped by Travis Etienne. It was 34 snaps for Etienne, 17 for Bigsby. But Bigsby's going to have a role in this offense. You know, and I'm not panicking if I have Etienne at all. Likely, you might have both of them, and that's fine. The only other thing I think was really interesting is Gabe Davis was the every-down receiver. Not Kirk, not Brian Thomas, Gabe Davis. 3 for 62. That's at least noteworthy there. All right, we're going to continue on. The next game on the list was by far the biggest blowout on the list. Carolina, New Orleans, right after this. And we are back. Let's get to the biggest blowout on the slate. As of now, at least. I don't think tonight's going to be a blowout, but who knows? New Orleans winning 47-10, having no issue with the Panthers. The Panthers still looking like they are the worst team in the NFL, especially after New England did what they did. The Saints had no issues. Derek Carr was as efficient as you could be. 19-23 for 200 yards and 3 passing scores. Threw one to Foster Moreau, threw one to Juwan Johnson, threw one to Rashid Shaheed, who another 50-plus yard touchdown. That was a 59-yarder. He has 10 career touchdowns. 5 of them have been for 50-plus. That's crazy right there. Kamara ran well, 15 for 83 and a touchdown. Caught 5 for 27, so he was just fine in this one. And sure, Jamal Williams was used. He scored a touchdown, but he definitely looked a step or two slower than Kamara. So good news on that front. And I'm not worried about Taysom Hill. We know that it's a roller coaster ride with this dude. And he did touch the ball 6 times. Now, 5 of them were carries, but not a lot of tight ends do touch the ball that much. So just be aware of that. Over to the other side, it was ugly. I mean, there's no way around it. I would say, of anything, here's what we learned. It's probably closer than we thought between Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. I don't know if either of them, well, Hubbard would have been the one we were looking to use. I don't know if either of them can be used now going forward until Brooks comes back. Deontay Johnson did have 6 targets, so I'm not panicking about him. Interestingly enough, Xavier Legette led the team in targets. He had 7 targets, 4 for 35. Not a huge line, obviously. But it was noteworthy that he led the team in targets. All right, let's move to Minnesota and the Giants. Anybody who watches that or their pregame show, that's the show that I'm on Sunday mornings on CBS Sports Network. Well, they saw me call out the Daniel Jones special wager, which was Daniel Jones over a half interception and a defensive score from the Vikings. If you combine those in a same game parlay, it was 11-1 odds. And of course, that hit. It was too easy. It was way too easy. Daniel Jones looked horrible. He looked horrible. You know, like a complete liability. Like there is a very real concern that, you know, he's not fit for the job and maybe they go to Drew Lock. We'll see. Despite that, I'm not worried about Neighbors. I thought Neighbors looked pretty darn good in this one. 5 for 66 on 7 targets, ran 47 routes. So they have to get things straight at quarterback. Granted, it's week one, but Daniel Jones has never flashed. So not good. Sam Darnold, though, was pretty good. 208, 2 touchdowns, 19 of 24, very efficient. Got the ball to Justin Jefferson downfield on one throw, and then where it mattered on a short touchdown. 4 for 59 and a touchdown is not massive, but I'll take it with Justin Jefferson. I'll also take 14 for 94 and a touchdown from Aaron Jones. They were using Ty Chandler. Like, let's be clear, this was not just all Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones played 53% of the snaps, 27. Ty Chandler played 19. So it's pretty close, but Aaron Jones was really effective, and maybe that's how he should be used most effectively. Don't give him 90% of the snaps. Keep him fresh because he's an older back, and you know, let him do his thing. Otherwise, Jordan Addison, ankle issue. We'll keep an eye on where he is. I'll have more updates on that front tomorrow. Raiders, Chargers. All right, Chargers side. Justin Herbert didn't do a whole heck of a lot. That's not a huge surprise, though. Ladd McConkey did catch a touchdown here. But obviously the big story is J.K. Dobbins' performance. So Dobbins goes 10 for 135 and a touchdown. Gus Edwards, 11 for 26. So what's going on here? It does look like this is a full-blown timeshare. J.K. Dobbins ended up with 32 snaps, Gus Edwards, 22. So he was on the right side of it. I don't want to just anoint J.K. Dobbins is like the sleeper of the year after week one against the Raiders of all teams. But the arrow is certainly pointing up. Like, he will be a key waiver ad, although he's widely rostered, it looks like, on ESPN, but not on Yahoo. So just worth noting there. But either way, there were times where he did look a little slow. So I just want to be clear about this. Let's take it step by step. Anybody who's victory lapping after week one either forgets the previous year or has never played this game before. But every year we see some weird things. Is this a weird thing? I don't know yet. I really don't know yet. I do know he put up some major points, though, and he was a player we were targeting in the late rounds if you were using my draft board. On the other side, probably the biggest concern was Zamir White was not the leader in the backfield. It was Alexander Mattison. 35 snaps for Madison, 23 for White. We caught wind that this backfield was not particularly clear in the preseason. Now, I do believe I mentioned it either was here on this podcast or on my radio show that I had some apprehension about drafting Zamir White. 13 for 44 he had. Madison only 5 for 19. He was not effective. And he did catch 4 for 43 in the touchdown. So his fantasy numbers look a lot better. It's just they're going to play from behind a lot. Madison is the preferred passing down back. He may end up with more snaps. And, you know, he may not have more touches than White, but he still may end up being the better fantasy option. Having said that, I don't think either is going to be a good fantasy option. Oh, by the way, Brock Bowers, solid debut. He led the team with 6 catches, 58 yards. Not bad. You know, topping double digits in PPR. I'll take it. I'm not worried about Davante Adams, too, by the way. All right, moving over to Denver and Seattle. Not the best start for Bo Nix. Was a little bit shaky with the football. He had 2 interceptions in the game. He also had 26 completions, but only 138 yards. So overall, not good, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I do think he has a long leash there. And he did run for a score, 5 for 35 and a touchdown. As far as this team is concerned, another weird backfield. So Jaleel McLaughlin looked like he was the early down back. And Javonte Williams looked like he was the passing down back. Now, Williams did play more snaps, but they did play from behind for most of the game. So 36 snaps for Williams, 24 for McLaughlin. But McLaughlin had 10 carries. Williams only had 8. This backfield is a weird backfield. We're going to take this week by week. 12 targets for Cortland Sutton was good. Only the 4 catches, but the volume was fantastic. Moving to the other side, I mean, Kenneth Walker was phenomenal. Some people were like, oh, why were you on Kenneth Walker this week? Largely because FTN DVOA. We have DVOA at FTN, which used to be at Football Outsiders. If you don't know the stat, it's a really simple idea. What we're doing is we're gauging team defense, team offense, other performances like that, not just based on the raw stats. Because, like, let's say you're a defense and you have a really soft schedule for the first month of the season. Like, you're playing some of the worst offenses. It's going to look like your defense is way better than what it really is. So the idea is to neutralize that. So to adjust for your opponents. Likewise, if you're playing a bunch of really crazy good offenses, you might be like a mid-range defense, but you could look like you're a bad defense based on the raw stats just because you ran into really good offenses. Well, DVOA accounts for that, right? And I looked at DVOA and I was like, whoa, Denver was not good. They were number 29 in DVOA for defense last year. All right, let's go Walker. 20 for 103 and a score. He has an oblique injury, but doesn't sound like it's significant. Though, you know, Charbonnet was fairly heavily used. I mean, he saw 10 touches. He got in the end zone as a pass catcher, 2 for 29 in the score, which Kenneth Walker also two catches. So we could see a good bit of Charbonnet there. I don't think he's going to be starter worthy. However, if Walker missed any time, all of a sudden Charbonnet becomes an RB2 option. Not worried about DK Metcalf in this one. You know, he had 3 catches for 29 yards. Better days will be ahead. I'm not worried about him, especially when you're facing the Broncos and you got some tough coverage on the other side of the field. All right, Dallas and Cleveland. You know, a lot of people did not like my Dak Prescott ranking, and I'm sorry because I was too high on him. He ended up, I think he's quarterback 22 right now, somebody was telling me. I didn't look at it right now. I'm kidding, of course, but he wasn't starter caliber in this one, even though he got paid an enormous, his contract's huge. And I'm a little disappointed it's resolved, not because of the Cowboys. Like, it was smart on the Cowboys' part to do this because the quarterback market's only going to go up and up and up. I really wanted to see him reach free agency because I wanted that chaos, but he's there. It's done. And he threw for 179 and a score. They didn't really have to do much because the Browns couldn't generate any offense. The score goes to Brandon Cooks. He's too underowned in fantasy. CeeDee Lamb, not a big day, but 10 targets. The backfield is basically a 50-50 split. Zeke played 30 snaps. Dowdle played 20. So be careful there. On the other side, like I said, man, it was ugly. I don't know if they're ever going to be able to figure out Deshaun Watson. I know it is week one, but this is now 3 seasons of seeing him on the field. And just he looks exactly the same. Like, nothing has changed. 2 interceptions in this one as well. He did throw a passing touchdown to Jerry Jeudy. Awesome. David Njoku looks like he's going to miss some time with a high ankle sprain is what it's being called. So that could put Jordan Akins into like the streamer territory. You know, again, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Jerome Ford, who was a clear lead guy, they barely used Deontay Foreman. It looks like, yeah, Foreman only played a snap, but I don't know if that changes going forward. He wasn't super efficient. Ford wasn't, but he did touch the ball, 18 times, had 6 catches for 25 yards, 12 for 44 on the ground, but a touchdown as well. So, hey, as long as Nick Chubb is out, Jerome Ford's going to see some volume. I'm just not convinced this team can move the football. Not going to panic over Amari Cooper, but he was not able to get it done in this revenge game. Had 9 targets, but only caught 2 for 16. Can we get Joe Flacco back, please? Washington and Tampa. All right, let's start on the Tampa side. Man, that offense looked good. And a lot of it was due to Baker Mayfield. 289 and 4. Huge performance. Now, granted, it was against a weak defense, but still huge performance. 2 touchdowns to Evans, 1 to Godwin. All is right with the world. And he even got the rookie a touchdown as well. Jalen McMillan on his first catch, touchdown, 1 for 32 and a score. Evans, 5 for 61. Godwin, 8 for 83. He looks so comfortable out there. Okay, Bucky Irving looked very good, but Rashad White was still the clear feature back. Rashad White, 15 for 31. But he did Rashad White things. 6 for 75 as a pass catcher. He got you 13.5 points just in as a pass catcher in PPR. I'll take that all day long. And yes, Bucky Irving is interesting. but White is still the lead. Over to the other side, Jaden Daniels scored 2 rushing touchdowns, 16 for 88 and 2 scores. Was not very effective passing the ball. Like, he wasn't bad. He didn't throw any interceptions, but he just didn't pop necessarily. He wasn't really forcing the ball to Terry McLaurin, only 4 targets for him. Like, Daniels just didn't throw a lot. And I think that's probably by design, at least early on. They may be covering him up a little bit right now, and that's fine if he's going to run the way that he ran. It's a timeshare between Robinson and Eckler, as we expected. They are, you know, Robinson early down, he had 12 carries, Eckler had 2, and then Eckler more of the pass catcher. He actually led the team in catches and receiving yards, 4 for 52, though Robinson did have 3 for 49. It was actually not a bad game for Robinson for fantasy purposes. He's an RB2. That's what we drafted him as. Okay, final game on the slate. The Rams and the Lions. The Rams losing in overtime. Let's start with the Rams, though. Obviously, the biggest news here is Puka Nacua leaving this game relatively early on. And, you know, I'm going to scroll really quickly here just to see if there's any updates. No, there's no updates. He is scheduled to undergo further testing today, and we'll see. Not good. With him out there, or with him out of the game, it was all Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp had 21 targets, 14 for 110 and a score. All the hype over Cooper Kupp in the preseason seemed warranted. Now, granted, the numbers are very inflated because no Nacua, but he looked pretty good. If Nacua misses time, DeMarcus Robinson will be the next man up, and then Tyler Johnson. We'll cross that bridge if we have to. Remember all that fear that Blake Corum was going to eat into Kyren Williams' workload? Well, the problem is, yet you have to play at least an offensive snap to do so, and Blake Corum did not. He was on the field for 9 special team snaps, 0 offensive snaps, which was 7 fewer than Ronnie Rivers, and Kyren Williams played 90.5% of the snaps, 67 snaps for him. So Williams remains that back-end RB1 with maybe, you know, front-end RB1 upside. 18 for 50 and a touchdown for him. Caught 3 balls for 4 yards. Not a great day, but definitely not a terrible day either for Kyren Williams. Like what Matthew Stafford looked like in this game. They didn't get the win, but he topped 300 yards, threw for a score, had a pick, whatever. Moving over to the other side here. Well, I know some people are going to be a little concerned about the usage in the backfield, but this actually matches what we saw last year with David Montgomery leading the way in early down situations, especially 17 for 91 in the game-winning score. He's going to do very little in the passing game, though. He had, you know, 1 catch on 1 target. Meanwhile, Jahmyr Gibbs, 11 for 40 in a score on the ground, but 4 for 34 as a pass catcher. So that's kind of what you signed up for, and you have a higher ceiling with Gibbs, and it's not a big deal, you know. Definitely a higher ceiling with him. Okay, moving over to receivers. No concern about Amon-Ra. No major concern about Laporta. I guess Laporta's game wasn't that bad. 4 for 45. He plays tight end. Let's never forget that with tight ends. Always remind yourself, when a tight end doesn't have a massive game, he plays tight end, okay? But the massive game going to Jameson Williams. 5 for 121 and a score. And I'll tell you why I think this production is sustainable, at least to the extent that he's not going to just be a weekly boom or bust. It's not the 5, it's not the 121, it's not the score. It's the 9, as in 9 targets. And it's the 28, as in 28 routes run out of a possible 30. Those are the numbers that are much stickier. If he was like, you know, Alec Pierce, for example, who had a big game but only saw 3 targets, that's not as sustainable. If you're going to see 6, 7, 8, 9 targets a game, watch out. Now, it's week 1. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves, as I keep saying. But if you drafted Jameson Williams, what, around wide receiver 50-ish was where he was going, he very well could outplay that, especially if he keeps this up. He's not going to have 100-plus every single week. But if this guy has 4 or 5 catches in his down weeks and gets you 50-plus yards, watch out. All right, so there you go. We have Monday Night Football tonight. Remember, the schedule going forward for this podcast is going to be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And a lot of the stuff that we're going to do here is going to be like, you know, catching you up on the news and all of that. I'm not going to sit here and just list off the stuff that's at FTNFantasy.com. If you want that stuff, go get that stuff, okay? Promo code RATPACK for 10% off, but that includes the rankings like wide receiver, cornerback, the waiver wire tool, all of these things that are up there. I know that in the past, you know, I'd come on a Tuesday and I'd list off every single person. I'm not doing that anymore. All right, I'll give you some of the top guys, but if you want to go a little bit deeper, sorry, you got to step up, man. Got to step up. There's nothing wrong with that, though. Yeah, you know, we all got to work for a living. This is what I do for a living. But we will address the big stuff. Don't worry about that on this podcast. All right, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. My wife keeps trolling me, man. She said a while ago that I couldn't get to 10,000. This was like over a year ago. I couldn't get to 10,000 on Instagram. I still have not gotten to 10,000. She's right, I guess. I don't know. You guys could try and prove her wrong. I know a lot of people are holding out on me there. So if you want to try and prove her wrong, do it. Follow me on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right. Review, rate the show on Apple Podcasts. Please, please, please. That helps me. And if I get more of those, I can do more of this. All right. Otherwise, I'll be back tomorrow. So I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.